This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 2nd, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator in Lexington, Illinois. In agricultural news, a committee of the Illinois State Senate has approved a bill that could mandate all gasoline-powered automobiles in the state be filled up with a 10% blend of ethanol by the year 2000. And it goes several steps further as time passes. That measure has yet to be taken up by the full Illinois Senate. In Washington, D.C., 9 Republican members of the House Ag Committee are throwing their weight behind Roy Blunt for new majority leader. Blunt is said to be the most pro-agriculture candidate running for the position. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. It all happens on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished like this. The March contract and the wheat pit up 8 cents today. 347 and a quarter. May futures at 358 and a half. They were up 8 and a quarter. And July at 368 and three quarters, up 8 and a half cents. September's at 378 and a half, were up 8. And December wheat in Chicago at 390 and three quarters, finished 8 cents higher. March wheat in Kansas City at 402 and three quarters, up 9 and three quarters. July contract for the hard red winter wheat at 407 and a quarter, up 11 cents. Back to Chicago, where at the Board of Trade, corn futures finished the day higher. March contract at 220 and a half. They were up 4 cents. May futures at 230 and a quarter, up 3 and three quarters. July, 239 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter. And September, corn at 246 and three quarters, up 3 cents. December futures, 256 and three quarters, up 2 and three quarters. March contract up 2.5 cents at 262 and one half. March oats up 4 cents today, 196. The maize at 193 and three quarters, up 4 and a quarter. Soy complex now. March beans at 584. They were up 4.5 cents. The maize at 596 and three quarters, up 4.5. July at 607. They were up 4. And the August at 610.5, up 4.5. September's 613.5 in the bean pit, up 3.5. November's at 621, we're up 4.25. And the January's at 625.5, we're up 2. March bean meal, 181.90, up 70. The May bean meal at 184.70, they were up $1. And the March bean oil at 21.95, up 13. The May bean oil at 22.39, up 14. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle finished the nearby April contract at 109.67.5. They were down 67.5 cents. The live cattle February contract at 92.60, down 45 cents. And the Feb lean hogs at 54.55 were down $1.67.5 today. Once again, that February lean hog contract finished at $54.55.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hey, Todd.
Dan, let's talk about what's been happening just on not on the fundamental side, but purely technical. What's happened with the marketplaces? We've had a big drop, and then we started to rally back again today in both the bean and the corn.
Well, corn and wheat's in the best technical shape. They did have their setback off of their highs that we posted, but now they've turned around and resumed the uptrend, and we went ahead and touched at least the high there at 21 on the March corn. We went to like 22 here a few days ago. So it does look like we've had a nice 2 to 3 day type correction consolidation. And now the market's ready to do some climbing, and with today's strong higher close, I mean, it tees up. We've been talking kind of 225, 230 for that March contract, and that kind of at least is teed up here after today. Wheat, you look at the wheat, we're right up against Oh, the highs that we had here earlier, you look at a lead futures chart on wheat, you know, it kind of looks like it's ripe to poke on up through a possible double top. It kind of looked like it kind of traced out a double top with the rally here late January, kind of having exceeded that early January high, then fallen back, but now it's totally turned around and resumed to the upside. So it does look like wheat market has kind of got the gates on open to go on into new highs. And if it does that, it continues on a counter-seasonal trend. And anytime you get into a counter-seasonal trend, the moves can be quite powerful.
And then from the soy complex side, as you take a look at those charts?
Soybeans, fine. We had a fairly steep decline, but the fact that the market did not show any downside follow-through here this morning from yesterday's steep decline, and in fact, we've kind of traced out a reversal, a daily reversal up, and now the bean market doesn't look all that bad. It did not penetrate as early January highs yet. It's had a setback, but now if today's reversal goes ahead and follows through over the next 2-3 days, then the challenge of at least that January high is in place.
And then on the lead, it still does have to manage to make it back through this gap that it had a couple of days ago before it heads the rest of the way up. So I suppose the soy complex doesn't look nearly as good as the corn and the wheat, but you're expecting that it may be dragged higher by those two?
Well, the trend is sideways to higher. We held above the late November, early December low point on this mid-January decline, and we've rallied out of it. Now, it's not probably as strong as corn and wheat, but it is a sideways to higher trend, and there are reasons now that you can kind of take into account to think that maybe there is some supply tightening taking hold in soybeans with basically all the weather maps pointing to a return to hot and dry weather in Argentina and in many areas of Brazil. So this is the time of year last year when Brazil got dinged up with a dry February. We'll have to kind of see whether or not that is the case again this year.
Now let's come back to the corn market and discuss this just a bit. On Commodity Week this past week, we had quite a discussion, frankly, on the number of dollars that might be in the marketplace and what that really meant to the price of not only corn and soybeans at the Chicago Board of Trade, but input costs and profit margins on the farm. And how do you work all of this into what you're looking at now fundamentally and technically in the marketplace? I assume you're seeing some tightening of supplies and the potential to move higher based off the fundamentals as opposed to the dollars. And I'm trying to.
Well, the dollar is a fundamental too. The value of the dollar is a fundamental influence, Todd, to what creates or makes up price levels, whether it's up or down or sideways. So the value of the dollar does contribute to whatever the price may be. And I think the fact, and we talked about this last week, the fact that balance sheets look more terrible and more burdensome on the supplies and prices are higher than what they were as a year ago, explains, I think, the decline in the value of the dollar and now that is being reflected in higher price values for actual commodities, which is a reflection of, I think, larger money supply the week that we've experienced over the past several years. And I think so this is a lot of people ain't going to call it inflationary, but I think that's part of what's going on here.
And when you look at the harvest month corn, and I think that December contract went to 269. Did it go that high? I can't recall that it's been that high once already. Maybe not. I'm trying to look back and see.
You talk about last year's high?
The current December contract, the next year's December contract.
Oh, yeah, when it was traded a year ago.
I thought it looked like it had gone that high. I'm trying to think. I only see a high of 250, so that's not. I don't see a high quite that high. I don't see one up at 269. I see one at 264 or thereabouts. But when you look at this, and oftentimes we talk about the December contracts making a move to 270, 275, can you envision a way that happens under normal growing conditions?
Well,
see, you can't mix
apples and oranges, Todd. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at the chart, you got to say, okay, based upon the chart pattern, the fundamentals are going to come in line to take it higher. Now, whether or not it would be an adverse weather growing season or maybe increased demand or it could be some other outside influence. So I would say based upon chart action, I can visualize a climb at least in the short run here, maybe into the 265, 270, and then we'll take the next step. But, yeah, I think looking at the technical side of the chart, the next stopping point here looks to be about 265. If you want to go beyond that, then you start talking something around 280, I think. The market is on track to climb that high anyway.
Okay, and then what are you telling producers about the cash side of this market and future sales for new crop and old crop sales for corn?
Well, I think from a marketing point of view, current price levels probably warrant a starting point on new crop sales. Now, you can kind of pick your poison whether or not you want to do a 5% or 10 or 15 or 20, but I do think over the long pull, 250 type futures for the most part, turn into good sales. Now, maybe by the time October comes around, and then, you know, we wish we would have sold more at 250. But between now and then, those 250 sales may not look very good and may make people think that, you know, golly, I sold too much too soon and all this kind of stuff. But so I think from a marketing point of view that you space your sales out over a 12 to 16-month window, this is a spot to maybe put some downside price protection on in the form of either a hedge or a hedge to arrive or a put. Kind of pick your own marketing tool at that point. Old crop futures, I think that is still dependent on if it's unprotected inventory. I think these are levels to maybe do some selling at. Now we did some 60-day lock-in here when the market jumped up here a week ago or so. We're going to shoot for something up into the 230s, 235 on that March futures if we can get that done. So we did the loan lock in for people that did have corn under loan that wanted to try lock it in and see if we could rally. So we did some of that, but we're going to reach for a little higher level than that because the backup is the loan if things don't pan out.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, the energy market looks like it's headed south for a while. You've got some bearish chart pictures in that, so you can maybe see some easing of energy prices here, at least for a few days anyway.
Oh, and one other thing. Speaking of the energy thing, and Dave Dickey, you'll hear him talk about this today. A Senate committee here in Illinois is passing on, I think, to the full Senate at some point. A potential piece of legislation that would mandate a 10% ethanol blend in the state for all gasoline, up that, I think, to 15% by the year 2012. And then it has a couple of other things that might be in it. What's your thought on those sorts of legislation?
Well,
that's for Phil to decide, isn't it?
Well, I guess that's for the most part, I thought we in Illinois pretty well had 10%. Just about every gas station pump I've pumped gas out of is
about
10%. But now I don't know, I don't buy a lot of gas in Chicago because I try to stay away from that place. So I don't know what's up there. But at least here in the central part of Illinois, most of that. So, but anytime you can increase demand and reduce our dependence on foreign oil, I think is a good step in a direction. So now going up to 15%, I don't know about whether or not cars are able to handle that. I think the new ones, can do the 85%, but I think there's an awful lot of vehicles out there in the marketplace that can only handle 10% blend.
Sure. All right. Thanks much.
Very well.
Dan Zwickers with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the two-state forecasts from our own Mike Solem. Let's take a look at what the forecast looks like for Champaign-Urbana. He says this afternoon in the area will be mostly cloudy, light rain, some showers likely. The high about 48 today. Winds out of the east at 7 to 14 miles per hour. 44 degrees outside the studios here at WILL at the moment. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. A few showers possible around Champaign-Urbana. The low at 32. Winds out of the northeast at 6 to 12 miles an hour this evening. They'll diminish overnight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, breezy, cooler. The high of 42. Winds will become westerly at 10 to 20 miles an hour. And tomorrow night, it'll be mostly cloudy here, a low about 24. And the Champaign-Urbana forecast calls for Saturday, cloudy and colder, the high in the 30s, the low 30s, in fact. That's a look at the forecast. Dave Dickey's here now. He'll take a look at the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Illinois Senate Agriculture and Conservation Committee yesterday approved a state renewable fuel standard designed to shift production and use of ethanol and biodiesel into a higher gear through research, investment, and industry expansion. The measure would require a minimum of 10% of all gasoline used in Illinois be ethanol by 2008, expand it to 15% ethanol by 2012, and reduce the current state sales tax initiative for ethanol from its current rate of 20% to 10% this July and phase it out in 2015. The bill also has $25 million set aside for research and development. The measure awaits full Senate action. The European Union reportedly has found yet another point of contention with the U.S. in the Doha round of world free trade talks. The EU says it no longer favors the peace clause, a World Trade Organization regulation that prevents one member from filing an unfair trade case against another member's agricultural programs in all but the most egregious cases. Without the peace clause, U.S. officials worry that USDA support programs would be under continuous fire. Washington sources say that President Bush's FY 2007 budget will include $150 million for development of bio-based transportation fuels from wood chips, corn stalks, and switchgrass. That's $56 million more than earmarked in the current fiscal budget. The budget is also expected to include $44 million for wind energy research and $289 million for development of hydrogen fuel cells and hydrogen-powered cars. The number of farms in the U.S. and the total amount of land devoted to farming fell in 2005. That, according to USDA's latest number of farms and land in farms report. The decreases reflect a continued consolidation in farming operations and diversion of ag land to non-ag uses. The number of farms in the U.S. in 2005 fell to 2.1 million. That's 0.6% fewer than in 2004. Total farmland in 2005 was 933.4 million acres, a decrease of 2.9 million acres, or 0.3% from 2004. The average farm size was 444 acres during 2005, an increase of 1 acre from the previous year. Mexico opened its borders Wednesday to U.S. bone-in beef from animals less than 30 months old. U.S. beef exporters sold more than $874 million worth of beef products to Mexico in 2003, with bone-in beef products accounting for about $40 million. And the U.S. House yesterday approved legislation that would eliminate USDA's Step 2 cotton subsidies. The legislation, contained within a broader budget-cutting bill, will now go to the White House for the president's signature. The bill ends the cotton subsidy program on August 1st. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can hear that program, by the way, at 11:30 a.m. Central Time on Saturday mornings, or you can pick it up off our website if you'd like, just after 6 o'clock on Friday evenings. Our guest this week, Glenn Ring, you can find him at www.will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. In today's listener opinion forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Karen Hertz says we are all lucky to live in a nation that spends very little on food.
Congratulations. You are living in the country with the safest and most affordable food supply in the world, thanks in part to Central Illinois farmers. Did you know that the average American spends just 9.5% of his or her personal disposable income on food each year? That means that by this week, just 5 weeks into the year, you have already earned enough money to buy your food for the rest of the year. In contrast, it will take until mid-April for most Americans to earn enough money to cover their tax bill, according to the Tax Foundation. To commemorate this time of year and the affordability of our nation's food, the Farm Bureau is celebrating this week as Food Checkout Week. This week gives us an opportunity to recognize everyone involved in the process that brings our food from the field to the table safely and affordably, and remember how privileged we are to live in the United States. The percent of disposable personal income we spend for food has declined over the last 34 years. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, food is more affordable today due to a widening gap between growth in per capita incomes and the amount of money spent for food. Surprisingly, this trend has continued even as we spend more money on convenience foods and eating away from home. Consumers in other countries spend much more of their disposable income on food. For example, France spends 18%, Japan 26%, Mexico spends 33%, and India 51% of their disposable income on food each year. So as you shop for groceries or prepare your meals this week, think about our nation's food supply, where it comes from, and how often we take that for granted. And think about ways we can share our abundance and how we can ensure it stays safe and affordable. From the Champaign County Farm Bureau, this is Karen Hertz.
Karen Hertz's comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. I strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on AM 580. Bill Mayer of Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about your take on the cash grain market in the Lexington, Bloomington area of the state of Illinois.
Well, if you look back over the past week, Todd, the bean basis has generally been lower. The river just kind of fell apart. We lost some pretty good 5, 6, 7 cents in some areas. Part of it, I think, was early on there when we saw the market move up last week. It was kind of, let's let the board do the work and weaken the bases out. But then after the board has fallen back, I think the processors may still need to come to the market a little bit. If the futures don't do the work, I think we're going to see the processor need to come in, maybe buy some on the bean.
And if you turn your direction and head the bases to Decatur, has it fallen apart as much as well, or is it staying, or
it's
is it stronger?
Been pretty steady, really, as far as you can tell on the Decatur bases. It really hasn't done well, pretty much unchanged from last week. So.
And farmers are calling in today with what kind of questions? Which direction is it going to go?
Well, yeah, and I wish I could answer that some. Maybe with this funds, it's a harder question to answer. But yeah, I think the question may not be so much which way is the market going and what should I do, but how, you know, what type of sale should I make? Should I make it in the future? Should we use some puts? Should we just go ahead and get some cash sales made? More of the opinion that we should be getting the old crop corn down there to, you know, real manageable levels, 20% or less, as well as beans.
And so you'll have not much left on the books to take care of, and then you're just willing to wait it out and see what happens with that in the summertime?
Yeah, and if somebody wants to go out there and head some of that into the deferred futures or use that along with their new crop hedges, I think that's not a bad strategy. You've got plenty of carry in the corn market, at least, to do that.
Bill, we appreciate you being with us. What are your bids for the day?
202 on the corn and 557 on the beans.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Bill Mayer with Rochag Marketing. He's at the elevator there in Lexington, Illinois. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the two-state weather forecast. Coming up next, your local newscast.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. In Chicago, the prosecution wrapped up 18 weeks of testimony and rested its case today in the corruption trial of former Illinois Governor George Ryan and Larry Warner. Now it's the defense's turn. Their first witness is Illinois State Medical Society CEO Alexander Lerner, a longtime Ryan friend. A community review panel could be one facet of a plan to bring school resource officers to Champaign High Schools. Unit 4 Assistant Superintendent Ecomet Burley says concerns about the use of school resource officers raised at two recent public meetings on school safety may lead to the formation of a committee to review the officers' activities. Police started patrolling Unit 4 high schools in November. The district plans to begin using school resource officers, police officers who have special training for the job, in the fall. An Edgar County man claims an Illinois law that bars convicted sex offenders from visiting their children at school, unless it's while attending a meeting about their child, is unconstitutional. The man, filing as John Doe, is suing the two school districts where his children are enrolled. He claims the law deprives him of his right to participate in raising his children. And his attorney says his client has been a model citizen since committing a crime in 1985. In response, the superintendent of Paris Union School District 95 says the school board is following the law and doing what's best for students' safety. The Decatur School District is looking for the public's input as it searches for a new superintendent. A search firm hired by the district will ask the public to give their views on what qualities they want in the next school superintendent at two public meetings in Decatur. The first is next Wednesday night at 7 at the school district's Kyle Administration Building. The second is during the Community Leaders Breakfast next Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. and at 9 a.m. at the Decatur Holiday Inn. Three huge livestock operations in eastern Indiana will participate in a federal program to develop air pollution standards for the farms. The concentrated animal feeding operations in Jay and Randolph counties house thousands of pigs or chickens. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report here on WILL. Taking a look now at the two-state forecast from our own Mike Sola. Pete Levitt is away for the afternoon. He says tonight in Illinois, it'll be mostly cloudy. There will be a few showers possible this evening in central sections of southern Indiana, cloudy, and scattered showers in northern Indiana, cloudy, a few showers of rain. That'll mix with some snow. Lows this evening, says Mike, from 30 in northwestern Illinois to 40 in southern Indiana tomorrow, Mr. Sola says. In central and southern sections of the two-state region, it'll be mostly cloudy. In the north, it'll be cloudy. It'll turn colder. Some light rain, a little drizzle in the morning, some flurries, light snow in the afternoon. Highs tomorrow will range from 34 in northwestern Illinois to 56 in the far southern parts of the state of Illinois. The extended forecast across the two-state region looks like this. Saturday and Sunday in northern and eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy, some snow showers. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, a few scattered flurries. Monday, mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers, mainly in the north. Highs Saturday and Sunday, ranging from the 20s in northern Illinois to 40s in the south. The highs Monday in the 30s. Low Saturday, mostly in the 20s. The lows on Sunday evening in the teens in northern Illinois and 20s elsewhere. Lows Monday, mostly in the 20s, with some teens in the far northern parts of the region. That's a look at the two-state weather forecast and your closing market report for this Thursday afternoon. We hope you enjoyed the ride. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good rest of the day.